You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on March 26th, 2026, which is 2 weeks later than when I originally planned to release this episode. Unfortunately, the day that I was supposed to record this, I got sick. Was sick for a couple days, so I wasn't able to record an episode that week. So now we're back, and it's good to be here with you today. So this week now, we're talking about an event in Peru where Franklin Graham preached to 90,000 people, which reportedly led to thousands of conversions. Well, that sounds great, right? Well, it does, until you realize that the message that he preached was not the same message as what the apostles preached. We're going to examine that in our episode today. For links to the story we're talking about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/032626. Now for our story this week. Thousands turn to Christ as massive Franklin Graham event reaches 90,000. From CBN News. Franklin Graham preached the gospel to 90,000 people in Lima, Peru, and thousands made commitments to give their lives to Jesus Christ as a result. The historic Esperanza Lima outreach was held in the country's national stadium, which the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association reports was packed from wall to wall for two nights straight. Franklin Graham is the son of Billy Graham, the well-known preacher whose evangelistic crusades led him to preach to millions of people around the globe. And the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is continuing that work, and Franklin Graham is one of the more public faces of that organization. Now, the numbers reported at this event are amazing. Thousands made commitments to give their life to Jesus. That reminds us of the 3,000 people who obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached to them on that day, as it says in Acts 2 and verse 41. Unfortunately, the message of Billy Graham and Franklin Graham and the rest of that organization is not the same message that was preached on the day of Pentecost by Peter and the other apostles. Well, what does the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association teach? Well, on the organization's website, there's a link at the top of the page that says, Find Peace with God, and it takes you to a page that outlines four steps necessary for conversion. Number one, God's purpose is peace and life. Number two is the problem. Sin separates us. Number three is God's remedy, the cross. And number four that they list is our response, to receive Christ. I would basically agree with those first three points that they listed there. I might word them a little bit differently, but I don't have a huge issue with those. The problem is with the fourth point, our response, where they say we receive Christ. The problem is that they rip verses out of context to try to convince people that all they need to do is pray a sinner's prayer in order to be saved. Well, here are the three passages that they list on that point. The first is Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So they say we have to open the door and Jesus comes into our heart. The problem, though, is that they are using this verse for something that supposedly happens to someone who is not a Christian. They invite Jesus and Jesus comes into our heart. That's not what that verse is talking about. That was written to the church in Laodicea. Those brethren were already Christians and in need of repentance. Jesus had to stand outside and knock because he was outside of their church. So that was an appeal to Christians, not to non-Christians. The next verse was John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So they say, you receive Jesus, you're a son of God. That's not what that verse says. That verse said that receiving Jesus or believing in him gave someone the right or the authority or the power to become a child of God. It did not automatically make them a Christian. It just put them on the path where they could become a Christian. And it would be explained to them how they would do that on the day of Pentecost following Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. And we'll talk about that more in just a minute. But then the third verse that they listed as their proof that we just receive Jesus and invite him into our heart is Romans 10 and verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So yes, confession is necessary for salvation. The Ethiopian eunuch confessed Jesus before Philip baptized him in Acts chapter 8. But Paul's point there was not that, well, we confess Jesus, we believe him, we invite him into our heart, we're saved. That's not what he was talking about. He was writing to Christians, not to non-Christians. He was writing to those who were Christians in Rome. They had already done whatever is necessary to become a Christian. What is that? Well, we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But the website of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association lists four steps to receive Jesus. Number one, admit your need, that I am a sinner. Number two, be willing to turn from your sins or repent and ask for God's forgiveness. Number three, believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. And then four, they say, through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit, or receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then they give a sample prayer that someone can pray to receive Jesus. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. I want to turn from my sins and I ask your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died for my sins and that you raised him to life. I want him to come into my heart and to take control of my life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow him as my Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. There is one fundamental problem with those steps and with that prayer. As a system, they are not taught in the New Testament. Now, if we break them apart, are we sinners in need of salvation? Yes, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Are we to turn from our sins and seek God's forgiveness? Yes, Acts 3:19 says, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Are we to believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave? Again, yes, that is the foundation of the gospel. Paul wrote, for I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. But then, are we to pray to invite Jesus into our hearts? That's where the teaching of Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, and those associated with them departs from the teaching of the apostles. So, what did Peter preach on the day of Pentecost? Well, when he began talking to them, he quoted from the prophet Joel to explain that what they were witnessing on that day was prophesied about long ago. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, that kind of sounds like the Graham's prayer to invite Jesus into your heart, doesn't it? Well, on the surface it might, if we ignore the context. Interestingly, the people who heard it did not understand it that way, and Peter had to explain it to them. And he did not explain it the way Billy Graham or Franklin Graham or some of the others do. When Peter convicted them of crucifying the Messiah, it says that they were pierced to the heart and asked what they needed to do. Well, he had already told them that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but evidently they did not know what that meant. So Peter had to explain it to them. So what did it mean? What did they have to do? Acts 2:38, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter said. But what does Franklin Graham teach? Through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Why doesn't Franklin Graham, or most denominational pastors, give the same answer that the Apostle Peter did? These people on the day of Pentecost came to believe who Jesus was. So Peter told them to repent and be baptized. But then we can ask another question. What did Paul do to become a Christian? When Paul gave his defense before King Agrippa, he used the opportunity to preach the gospel to him. And Agrippa recognized that that's what Paul was trying to do. The text says that Agrippa replied to Paul, "In a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian." Paul said, "I would wish to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." Paul was trying to convince Agrippa and everyone who was present on that occasion to become a Christian just as he was. Well, what did he do? Consider the account recorded in the book of Acts. And as we look at these passages, note that he was known as Saul at that time. But what did Paul or Saul do in becoming converted to Christ? First, he came to believe in Christ. And as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." The fact that he called Jesus Lord indicates that he recognized who he was at that point as the Son of God. Second, he repented of his sins, and he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. And the Lord said to Ananias, "Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying." His prayer and fasting indicated that he was sorrowful for what he had done in persecuting the church. It showed that he had a change of heart and he wanted to be right in the Lord's sight. But then third, he was baptized. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. When he retold his conversion story later, he explained that he was baptized in order to wash away his sins, which tells us that his sins had not yet been forgiven, despite his belief in Jesus and his penitent heart and his fervent prayer to God. So Ananias told Paul to be baptized to have his sins washed away. Franklin Graham and many, many others tell people they don't have to do that because their sins have already been forgiven. Well, who are we going to believe? The apostles of Christ who told penitent believers to be baptized to receive the forgiveness of sins? Or the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, which teaches penitent believers to just pray and invite Jesus into their heart? Now, I'm not here to question the sincerity of Franklin Graham. I don't know him personally. I'm not here to question the sincerity or the genuine motives of the people who have taken his message as true. Instead, I'm asking all of us to consider what the Bible says about what the apostles taught. After all, what the apostles taught was the same thing that Jesus told them to preach when he gave them the Great Commission. Notice what's recorded in the Gospels about what Jesus told them to say in carrying out the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Mark 16:16 says, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." And then in Luke 24, it says, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Put those passages together, and what do you have? Belief, repentance, and baptism. The same thing that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and the same thing that Paul did in order to obey the gospel and become a Christian. So in summary, it is amazing to hear about thousands of people being converted in a single event. But if they're not being taught the same message that the 3,000 were on the day of Pentecost, then what good is it? We need to teach the same gospel that the apostles taught, which is the same gospel that Jesus commissioned them to preach throughout all the world. We are not helping anyone by failing to teach them all that is required for them to do to have their sins forgiven and to be saved. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/03-2626. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast and share it with others, that's always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, then that option is available to you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, that is available on Substack, which will be linked in the show notes. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.